Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The Rockets have 69
cookies.
Cookies. Thompson, dunk. Plus the ball. Some cookies and some milk.
Oh, the Houston Rockets are still alive. Hey, oh, yeah. They won game five. Yeah. Oh, playing on Friday night for game six. The Rockets are still alive. Yeah, everybody.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Thursday, May 1st of 2025. I am Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is behind the glass, and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You know how to get aboard. You heard it from voice guy himself, 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. We always work your commentary into this program. The Rockets destroyed the Golden State Warriors for a half, hung on for a lot more stressful than needed third and fourth quarter for a 131-116 victory last night to send the series back to San Francisco for a Friday night game. I was really impressed by how the Rockets opened this game. And I want everyone, much like I said, you owe the Rockets a little bit of grace. This is the first time that they're in the playoffs and that they have made it. Definitely makes this season a success, no matter how disappointing they might have been over the course of this series, shooting themselves in the foot, missing all of these free throws. Do not let the end of last night's game affect your opinion too much. Was it annoying? Sure. Do not let it overshadow all of the good that you saw last night. For example, Amen Thompson. He's got superstar potential. He wasn't just the best player on the court last night. He was the best player on the court by far last night. He was doing Hakeem Olajuwon stuff. Yes, he was putting up stat lines that only Hakeem has done in terms of just the overall everythingness. 25 points, 8 of 12 from the field, 8 of 9 from the free throw line, 6 boards, 4 of them on the offensive side of things. 5 steals, 3 blocks, 3 assists. He even hit the 1 3-point shot that he took. There is a reason that Amen Thompson is untouchable for the Houston Rockets and should remain untouchable for the Houston Rockets. But there was also a lot of other good in this game. Fred VanVleet continues to shoot the lights out. He had 4 threes in this game as part of a 26-point effort. A lot of focus on Jalen Green. Fred VanVleet made the most of it. Alperen Şengün. That's perhaps the best he's done from a creation for others standpoint. He's had all playoffs. He had 15, 9, and 9. 9 boards, 9 assists, 8 of them in the first half. He was setting guys up with hard screens. He was setting up players for 3-point attempts with beautiful passes. I thought Şengün played great, and even better, when he was trying to drive towards the basket, he actually showed a little more strength and powered through some Warriors defenders on a level that he was not able to earlier in the series. Who else looked pretty good last night? I thought Dylan Brooks, once again, did what he needed to do. I thought Tari Eason did a pretty good job coming off the bench, at least when he was coming in before that weird stretch from the third to the fourth quarter where the Warriors backups were punking the Rockets. And you know what? I know that the stat line does not reflect it, and I do not want to sound like I am making excuses for Jalen Green, but I thought that Jalen Green came out attacking. I thought the first couple of shots that he took showed that his confidence is back. And then this game got so out of hand that they didn't really need Jalen Green to do much more. But I thought Green handled the pressure that the Warriors were throwing at him, made the right decisions, and stayed engaged. So all in all, you got a really incredible performance from the Rockets. They get out to a massive lead in the first quarter, an even bigger lead at halftime. It was 76-49. They were winning by quite a bit in this one. And I hope that they focus on all of the things that they did and somehow replicate them in San Francisco in Game 6. Which, by the way, I do want to make it clear, I am skeptical that it'll happen. I am not saying it's impossible. I think they've got a 20% chance of winning tomorrow. If they win tomorrow, I think that Game 7, Sunday, 50-50. Flip a coin. It's coming back to H-Town. But are they going to be able to do this again tomorrow? Because a lot of what they did last night felt unsustainable. I mean, the numbers at a certain point in the first half, I called it unsustainable when at the end of the first quarter, the Rockets were shooting 64.7% from the field, 55% from outside, and were perfect. Yes, perfect from the free throw line. The same team that had missed 35 free throws the 4 games before. I thought that was unsustainable. And it turns out it was unsustainable because midway through the third quarter, they were actually shooting better from both the field and from three. You heard what I said a little bit ago, right? 64.7% from the field, 55.5% from outside. They were still shooting 64.7% from the field. They were shooting 62.5% from outside midway through the third quarter. All of that seems unsustainable, right? To a degree. But let's just go through the things that we have seen. What is sustainable of all the things that we saw last night from the Rockets? How about this? The last 2 games that we've seen out of Amen Thompson, who has looked remarkably confident. Here he is after last night's game, talking about that confidence and where it came from and why all of a sudden it's happening.
Probably like the end of the last game. I was just like, I got to be more aggressive. I got to make an impact on this game. And I tried to carry that into this game.
He did. I mean, it's not just that Amen Thompson was pickpocketing Steph Curry and pickpocketing the Warriors' best players. I've never seen him talk trash. If you talk to anyone who has been covering this team on a daily basis, they will tell you what a sweet guy Amen Thompson is. That might not be believable when you see him, you know, throwing Tyler Hero into the ground, or for those who think that he tried to hurt Jimmy Butler on purpose. But Thompson, per some who were watching this game from closer seats than me, was apparently MFing Gary Payton Jr. the entire game. Like calling him trash. I did not know that was in his bag of clubs. But is that sustainable? I think it is with Thompson. Fred VanVleet shooting, is that sustainable? No. It's not. I mean, he keeps getting open shots. He keeps taking them. Ime Udoka described it after the game as Fred VanVleet just taking what the defense gives him. Sure, that is certainly happening. But let's be realistic here. Is that really going to be able to keep on happening? Is Fred VanVleet, who we have seen have rough night shooting in San Francisco, going to keep getting open the way that he is while the Warriors collapse on Jalen Green and shooting off-balance 3-point shots that go in? I'm skeptical about that. Şengün setting things up. I think that can actually be sustainable. And really, you should see one of the screens that Şengün set on Pajimski, who finally came back to Earth. He killed him. It was beautiful, especially considering we're all annoyed by the Pajimski experience. He came back to Earth in a hard way. He did have open looks, by the way. The Warriors had some open looks that they just missed. So, you know, also, are the Warriors missing shots? Is that sustainable for a home game? Maybe from a Steph perspective. Because let's ask about what's sustainable. And this might be the big question remaining in the series. There is a picture that went viral of Steph Curry coming off of a plane. Did you see his thumb? He has a golf ball on his right thumb. We'll dive into in Tinfoil Hat Thursday at 12:30 some of the things that have been said about the Rockets potentially trying to aggravate said swollen thumb. But is Steph going to sustain this level of poor play? I don't want to doubt Steph, who said after the game, no, it's just cold because of all the ice packs he's put on it, and said it's not impacting his play. Is Steph going to continue to struggle? The last two games, he has played poorly, at least by his standards, which is the standard of one of the greatest players in basketball history. Is attack mode Jalen Green sustainable? That I don't know. His confidence from game to game seems to waver, but I felt at the beginning of this game, the Rockets made a concerted effort to try and get Jalen Green going with a couple of the first plays that they ran. And I also liked what I saw from Alperen Şengün, who was basically right in his ear after the shots that he took, the aggressiveness that he displayed, saying, hey man, keep it up. He did get banged up. He said he bumped his knee. He said he's okay. He left the game for a moment. Honestly, with the way he was limping, I thought he might be out for the entirety of the game. He checked back in, but then checked back out a couple of minutes later. He did play a lot of the game. I am curious about his health going into the next game, but I thought we saw an attack mode Jalen Green, who maybe wasn't the best player on the court for the Rockets, but I did think had a good game. And also, on top of that, one last thing, as far as asking what is sustainable and what isn't for the Rockets from Game 5 going forward, potentially into Game 6, Game 7, if they're lucky and get a win. Can they keep playing these big lineups? These big lineups are fun. I mean, there was a moment where they had Amen Thompson, Tari Eason, Jabari Smith, Steven Adams, and Alperen Şengün on the court together. That's like just bully ball. Let's play Red Rover instead of basketball here. So what is sustainable for the Houston Rockets going forward based off of what you saw in Game 5? Answer that. Thompson, Van Vliet shooting, Şengün, Green, Steph Curry slumping. What's sustainable? We'll hear from Sean on the other side. You'll hear from you on the other side. And on top of that, are the Warriors being a little bit too cocky with how they handled last night's game? It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around. But first, let me tell you about my friends at Rize Health, R-I-I-Z-E health.com. We're just talking about cocky. Listen, I don't want to go down that road, but don't you want to get that spark back? Don't you want to get that spice back in your life? Spice up your life. Spice up your life. Well, guess what? The Rize Max Rapid Enhanced Dissolving Strips. It's going to get your rocket going. Hell yeah, man. It combines sildenafil, tadalafil, oxytocin for superior sexual performance. It's a strip that comes in a condom-sized wrapper, and you can discreetly put it under your tongue. 5 minutes, boom, you're ready to go. I mean, this is the top-shelf stuff. You don't need a pill. You don't need water. You don't need to sneak off. I mean, this is something that you could do rather discreetly if you want to get going. And if you go to risehealth.com, R-I-I-Z-E health.com, and enter promo code 975, you're going to get 20% off your first order. It's worth it, guys. Put the shame to the side. Get back in the game. Rise up, rise up with Rize, R-I-I-Z-E health, risehealth.com, promo code 975.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. What's sustainable for the Rockets from Game 5 into Game 6 and beyond? HTX Rhino on Twitch at ESPN 975 comments. Van Vliet just needs to sustain this for two more games this series. He's on fire. Don't say just, though. I mean, what Van Vliet has been doing has been carrying the Rockets' offense. Because the Warriors are throwing all their attention at Jalen Green when he's out there, which has been leaving Van Vliet open. And Van Vliet, as Udoka said after last night's game, is just taking what he's being given. Şengün, meanwhile, I think has made the most of some of the opportunities he's been getting. Some of the passes he had last night were just phenomenal. And on top of that, picks he was setting. This was, I think, Şengün's best game. And, I mean, you know, take a look at his numbers. He nearly had a triple-double, and he barely played, you know? Was interesting to see him and his exchange with old Pat Spencer, who gave him a little headbutt. Not a big headbutt, little headbutt. After Şengün shoved him a little bit. So Pat Spencer, I respect him for standing his ground. Pat Spencer has shown some chutzpah in this series. Headbutts him back. And then who's this rando on the Warriors, Sean, that shoved his ass?
Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Trayce Jackson-Davis should have gotten more for that.
That's what I was surprised that.
Tech for Şengün, tech for him, and ejection for
The headbutt.
But it was a headbutt. It was.
Yeah, I think it's a situation where going for the headbutt is enough to be like, come on, dude.
But I thought it was a lot more like Giannis Antetokounmpo with the guy on the Pacers at the end of.
Oh, with the Mathurin?
Yes,
with Halliburton's dad.
And with Halliburton's dad. I thought it was more like that. I thought it was like, hey, you're in my grill. Well, I'm going to use my head to push you out of my grill. I'll
be honest. I like the Rockets. Had basically pulled my starters in the third quarter.
You're out.
I just like the amount of attention I was paying was less until I guess I was still. It got demoted to the laptop, you know, and then I had to. Whoa! This right. is actually back to being close.
There were moments,
not really close, but like 13 with like 7 minutes left.
I did TV this morning on Fox 26, and since I didn't have great internet, I did not stick around for the post game stuff because I was told I had the TV on Fox 26.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, when can I leave? And then, of course, the Warriors made it a close game, and I'm like, damn it, please do not make this the most historic blown loss in the history of basketball, please. Yeah. And they were able to get it together. But, yeah, there was a stretch from, I think, 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter to about 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter where I was thinking to myself, wait a second. And then the Rockets got it together.
Yeah.
I don't want people to be so swayed by the end of that game acting like that means that the Warriors have something going forward.
Yeah, it was really they made their run when the two bench units were out there. Like,
yes.
Like when the what was it, like Landale, Holiday.
And not Cam Whitmore.
Reed Sheppard. Yeah, not Cam Whitmore.
Cam Whitmore probably punched a locker. Apparently he had to be brought back to the court. Because of his frustration, he only got 2 minutes in the game. Something is clearly going on behind the scenes with Cam Whitmore.
If he's not playing the third quarter garbage time.
And Reed Sheppard isn't looking terrible out there. Yeah. I mean, Reed Sheppard looked completely lost out there. Pat Spencer, to his credit, I thought Pat Spencer balled in this game. I've kind of gotten some respect for Pat Spencer. I like that he stood up for himself in that moment. They were telling him, hey, stop talking. I mean, he played pretty well. The Warriors bench did what they needed to. The Warriors starters, though, they just didn't. Which brings me to the question of, are the Warriors a little bit cocky with how they handled this last game? Per Steve Kerr, the Warriors had a conversation at halftime. And in that conversation, they determined that if the starters over the first 5 minutes don't play well, we're pulling them. Also, isn't this the most condescending way that somebody could talk about a really good performance by the Rockets last night? Here is Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors.
Carried over to our offense. It's hard to play offense when you're taking the ball out of the net every single play. They, at one point, I think at halftime, their effective field goal percentage was 95%. I've never seen that in my life. So you're not winning that game
What was so?
He had a smirk while he said that. We're shooting like 95%. This is ridiculous. Honestly, I saw that. Steve Kerr triggers me. He shouldn't. Triggered Paul. There's something about him that it's the patronizing way that he talks about a lot of topics, one of which we'll get into in the next segment, and the lecturing as well. Like, F off, dude.
Although what he's basically saying is what we're saying, is that the way they shot in the first half
yes.
unsustainable?
Yes, but he can't say that. I mean, they weren't ready to go.
No,
he's the coach.
That's the thing. It's less about the shooting and it's the rocket shooting and about the once you're already down 30 at halftime, being like, hey, we're going to give this 5 minutes and then pulling the plug. Like that's all like understandable. It is like how they entered the game. Like they entered the game. I think what they did was essentially go, hey, listen, the old Rockets teams, like with James Harden, maybe they no show. When facing elimination, maybe they just make it easy for us and we can just get in here, get a win. They kind of lay down and we could. And then once they saw, like, oh, Amin Thompson's really angry and he's really trying to win this, and a couple shots for Jaylen go down early, that's when they're like, I think just mentally, and this happens in the playoffs
for sure.
Subconsciously, you're like, all right, we got another game in their back pocket.
But is that arrogance? I think it is.
It is.
I think it is. I'm sorry. They're not that good.
Yeah.
They're good. They've been here. They've done that. They're not that good.
Because they also did that in, I want to say, it was the second round series in 2022 against the Grizzlies. It was like almost the exact same scenario where they win game 3 and 4 close in Chase Center. Then they go to Memphis, and that Memphis beat them by like 45. Like Memphis killed them, and they came back and they won Game 6 in a blowout. But I think Ja might have gotten hurt or something. He does that from time to time.
He does.
And so I had that in the back of my mind of like maybe there's a little bit of a Warriors no show. I didn't think it'd be that much of a. I don't even know if it was that much of a no show. That much of a no show combined with the Rockets just. Once they got the ball rolling, the confidence was just off the charts.
The Rockets brought a bazooka in, and the Warriors
which is
were
what
like,
you want to see.
Whoa, we thought this was a boxing match.
Yeah.
They brought gloves.
Hey, normally when we play the Rockets, the best player on the other team doesn't show up when they face elimination.
But I really think that they should have opened up this game doing full court press stuff, trying to level up the intensity because, you know, for the first half and the second half of Game 4, the Rockets look unprepared. In this game, the Warriors look unprepared from the start. And listen, I do not think that the Rockets are going to win tomorrow. Game 7, I will change my mind. I will think it's a coin flip. But you could have taken them out. And instead, you just showed up thinking that they weren't going to show up. And I mean, listen, the Warriors, you know Ime Udoka is the head coach. He took the Celtics to the finals. You know that that is not going to be a pushover team. You know that. And you know that they got some young players. And maybe Jalen Green's not going to be able to get it up. But you've seen Fred VanVleet before in the finals, too. So, I mean, there's a couple of guys here that I do think the Warriors should at the very least have been aware of.
Yeah.
And it really did feel like they overlooked them.
Yeah, it's the team you've played for the last 4 games up to this point, up to last night, where, like, no matter what, and we talked about this, I forgot if it was Monday or Tuesday show, after the losses in Oracle, where we're like, yeah, the Rockets, like, aren't ready in the like basketball IQ and having reliable offense way, but they're already in the like mental fortitude of in Game 4 they go down by by 15 to start both halves,
13-0, and then 18-1 to start both halves.
Yeah, and then eventually come back and get a lead. I mean, they had a 7-point halftime lead, and I think they had a lead, or maybe they were just tied late in the fourth quarter. In that game. So, like, this is a pretty mentally strong team.
Correct.
It's just a team that makes a lot of mental errors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're the Warriors, again, like, I mean, you mentioned that, like, they're not the 2022 Warriors. They're not the 2018 Warriors. Like, this is a good Warriors team, but I'm just stopping at good. And where arrogance kind of comes into is that, hey, you know the team you're playing is the Minnesota Timberwolves, assuming you win the series. And they're younger, deeper, and are going to have a rest advantage over you?
Yes, from the 8-3-2. I never understood why teams up 3-1 let up in Game 5. I get you have two more games to close out, but wouldn't you rather go hard in Game 5 and have more rest before the next series? Bingo! So, a little cockiness going into it, and a little cockiness leaving. Here's Jimmy Butler, after last night's game, talking about where the Warriors are.
Steve mentioned how you had that 3-0 lead against Boston, then ended up winning in Game 7. What does it take from your experience to kind of rebound from something like this where you don't close the team out but then can do it later?
We're fine. Our confidence isn't going to waver any. We're going to start out better. We're going to play a better overall game because we know how good of a team we are as a unit. We know how good our players are as individuals. So we just got to starters. We got to kick us off better, which we know that we will do. We'll be fine.
It's basketball, and no one's confidence ever wavers. We know the Warriors are going to feel confident. However, we're fine coming out of that. I think that's an extreme thing to say, given that there have been two blowouts in this series. And you can say, hey, well, what about game one? It was a 10-point game. And what about game three? It was a, 11-point game. But there have been two blowouts in this series, and the Rockets have been on the winning end of both of them. And last night, I mean, it was an ass-kicking. So, listen, I am not overlooking the Warriors. I have a great deal of respect for the Warriors, but I do think that the Warriors were a little bit cocky with how they went into last night's game and with how they're coming out of last night's game. And if I'm Ime Udoka, I am putting that Jimmy Butler quote on the board. I am putting the sneer that Steve Kerr had with his face, taking a picture of it, screenshot of it, putting that up on the board. Take whatever you can get. Use it as fuel for tomorrow night's game. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, it is a tinfoil hat Thursday. Were the Rockets trying to murder Steph Curry last night? Some people think so. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 975.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The vibe's still not back for Rockets fans, I'm sensing, on the most interactive sports talk show in town. Before we get to a tinfoil hat Thursday from the 713, shameful how the first quarter no one was there. I think it'll be tough in San Francisco with their fans. Yeah, Warriors fans are louder. There's no denying that. It is a much, much better environment. We made excuses yesterday. I knew exactly what it was going to be. I am no longer disappointed. I have accepted that we are fashionably late to everything. And thankfully, the Rockets played so well in the first quarter that no one came in, saw the score, and left.
Yes. It did cross my mind in the first quarter that were the Rockets... They're like 13 for 13 or 13 for 14 from the line in the first quarter. And I did think, is it because no one's there and it feels like a practice free throw? Is it because it doesn't feel like the playoff free throws that they've taken so far in the series and missed so many of them? Is it because no one's there that it worked to the Rockets' advantage? I don't know. At least from the free throw line.
Yeah, and listen. I have accepted who you are. Okay, that's part of it.
6:30. I mean, come on.
6:30 is bull. That's bull. The 8:30 on Easter is bull. I have accepted who you are.
Now I do realize that means there's a pretty narrow Goldilocks zone for this. Where if it's too late, we complain.
Nope,
if it's too early,
we talked about it yesterday. Get a hot dog and a beer. Okay. Feed everybody. Parking, people might get there a little bit earlier. They're fashionably late. The tickets are expensive, okay? I'm on your side, finally. You know, this is just who everyone's been since all the way back to 94 when you've got Vernon Maxwell, who everyone conveniently forgets, told Rockets fans to go to hell, which he did. The worst fans in the NBA, go to hell.
He didn't tell me to go to hell, all right?
Yeah, I think he also went into the stands once. It's
really
funny.
He sure did.
It's really funny that he is.
Didn't get ejected, I don't think.
Everyone likes him again. From the 832, talking about the confidence and cockiness that the Warriors have. Again, the vibe's not great. Is it all cockiness, or confidence in Houston to be Houston and choke city. Okay, well, maybe from a Warriors perspective, that's what Houston is. But again, the Rockets have come back from down 3-1 twice as a franchise in years that end in 5. From the 713, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I do want us to go whoops, but in San Francisco, bring it back to the house and finish it off. I just feel like we're going to get an ass-whooping on Friday. The ass-whooping has yet to happen in this series. I think that the Rockets were in it in game number one and game three to the end. The final score does not reflect that.
Yeah. And obviously, game four, they had a shot to tie it. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this game wasn't a blowout, would people feel better about it? I think the fact that it was so like, oh, immediately this game is over, I feel like that has part of it of like, I think even the Rockets fan base, it's just like, obviously they didn't try. The Warriors just punted this one.
And the way that the game ended as well. I mean, but I don't twist this, okay? I'm just telling you.
No, I'm just, that's how
I'm thinking to everybody.
That's how I'm taking the vibe check. I am receiving that as they probably just saw this game or like, oh.
They,
obviously.
Right. They saw, hey, the Warriors don't need it. One. Yeah. Two, the Warriors played well with their backups, especially against the Rockets starters who were pretty rusty coming in. Like, there's a lot of factors that add up to you saying, like, oh, whatever about this win. Put it in the backseat. Put it in the backseat for just a little bit, okay? This is not the James Harden team. This is not an unlikable team. They are likable. I'm telling you to like them, which doesn't necessarily make them sound likable. Like them, damn it!
Whenever you force people to like something, they
always work.
Always work.
One text from the 936. Again, the vibe's bad. Silver wants the series to go to game 7 so the Rockets can lose at home because he personally hates Houston. Silver hates Houston? I don't know about that.
I think that's satirical.
Okay.
I think they're making a joke.
I don't know. I mean, Eric the Driver is a longtime listener of the show.
If you were just saying that he wants it to go 7 because, like, hey, one of these series should go 7, mm-hmm. I'd buy that.
All right, guys. Put on your tinfoil hat. We got to talk about something that's become a big talking.
Talk with your mouth, Paul.
There is a debate online about whether or not the Rockets are trying to go and murder Steph Curry. It's time for Tinfoil Hat Thursday.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Handling the biggest conspiracies in sports.
Who has the power to cover it up?
Just follow the money.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
And asking the questions they don't want answered.
So hold on to your hats.
Tinfoil hat?
They should wear little tinfoil hats.
This is Tinfoil Hat Thursday.
Indeed. It is. For those who have not seen Steph Curry's thumb, I encourage you to go on the internet and take a look at it. He has got golf ball-sized swelling on his right thumb, which is his shooting hand. It seems the Golden State Warriors have their own version of Bill Worrell, former Rockets broadcaster. Bill Worrell, legend, but constantly complained about refs during broadcasts, and Matt Bullard, the former color commentator, I felt enabled him. But the Warriors broadcast not much better. Perhaps this is every NBA broadcast team. Here they are accusing the Houston Rockets of assaulting Steph Curry.
This happened in game 4 a couple times. They're targeting Curry's thumb. The whack on the right hand, that happened multiple times. They know he's been injured there.
Okay. So, I mean, they're just making an accusation here. After the game, Ime Udoka was asked about those accusations of dirty play by Dylan Brooks.
Ime, here, one of the Warriors broadcasters tonight on the broadcast accused Dylan Brooks of intentionally swiping at Curry's right thumb.
Good question.
How would you respond to that?
I wouldn't.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So, I mean, if we're in court, this is how you do it. You just don't answer the question. I plead the fifth. You don't put yourself on record. Dylan Brooks, though, he just can't help himself. Alperen Şengün and Dylan Brooks did a joint press conference after last night's game. They looked like Metro villains from The Matrix. Listen, NBA fashion is what it is, but as someone who is accused of being Metro, if not other things at times, I feel like this is what people believe that I wear on a Saturday night when, or a Friday night if I'm going to numbers. Here is, here is Dylan Brooks being asked if he was trying to go after Steph's thumb.
Dylan, one of the Warriors broadcasters tonight said he thought you were intentionally trying to swipe down on Curry's thumb, and Kerr was asked about it and said it happens around the league, that it's allowed by the rules, so players throughout the league do that. What do you think about that?
No, I've been playing the game. If you're going to come play the game injured or whatever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time. So, whatever they're saying on the broadcast, they can keep saying it.
Dylan Brooks is not Canadian. I don't believe he's Canadian. Dylan Brooks, you know, Canadians are supposedly polite and nice and all that stuff. I love how Dylan Brooks is asked, hey, were you being dirty there? And he was saying, well, if my ankle was hurt, I'd go after my ankle. So, I mean, this lends itself to the idea that he is purposefully going after Steph Curry. Based off of what I've seen on the text line, it seems like Rockets fans are okay with this. I don't know how I feel about this. I do like that basketball has a little bit of violence attached to it, but at the same time, trying to injure a player to get him out of a game, am I allowed to endorse that on the air as a sports talk show host? I don't know. I really do not know.
I don't think you're allowed to endorse it, but I like that is the game. Like that just happens. If you're playing pickup and the guy guarding you is limping, if the guy guarding you is limping like Luka Doncic, did the T-Wolves go like, hey, listen, we can't go after Luka. Look how tired he is.
Mm-hmm.
No, they blew by him every time. Every time they could.
It is a tinfoil hat Thursday. On the other side, we are going to hear more about whether or not the Rockets were dirty. Number one, do you want to get pissed off at Steve Kerr? You're going to. Number two, you want to hear a little hypocrisy exposed? You will also hear that. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Were the Rockets being dirty against Steph Curry last night on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston? 713-780-3776 to call to text. Stay put.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Are the Houston Rockets trying to murder Steph Curry? And are you okay looking the other way as a Rockets fan? Are you like Giannis Antetokounmpo? Where I come from, snitches get stitches. Are you like him? Possible future Rocket if things don't go the Rockets' way the rest of this series. The series now 3-2 after a blowout win for the Rockets in Game 5, 131-116. Are you okay with it? Captain Sanctimonious himself, Steve Kerr, sure ain't. Steve Kerr was asked as well, and I believe there was a, I'm going to guess, KNBR reporter, which is a radio station in the Bay Area, who... Listen, I'll give him credit. The guy did his job. He kept on asking about the possibilities of dirty play, which generally beat reporters for some reason do not ask about it. You know, whenever I'm at the press conference, I'm always the one that has to ask these questions. It kind of annoys me. It's my burden, my cross to bear. It's okay. I'm the greatest thing that's ever happened to sports talk radio in Houston. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. You know that already. That's why you're here. Paul, what are you talking about? You egomaniac psychopath. Okay, fine. Steve Kerr was asked the same question that... One, Ime Udoka was asked. And two, Dylan Brooks was asked when it came to whether or not Rockets players are going after Steph.
So players all over the league are just taking shots at guys' shooting hands after release because they know it's not going to be a foul. And I'm very confident that next year the league will fix it because it's only a matter of time before somebody, you know, breaks a thumb or breaks a hand or whatever. But these are the rules. I do believe they're allowed to call a flagrant if they want. The refs could call a flagrant if the guy winds up and takes a shot. But no, it's been happening across the league all year long. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But
there was one play in particular where Green's shooting, and it did look like Brooks hit the hand that was called by the Warriors broadcast a dirty play. And Dylan, you heard in the last segment, said, hey, I mean, if my ankle's busted, I'd hope that I'd go after my ankle, if I were playing myself. So hearing Steve Kerr say that, okay, maybe there should be better rules about it if you know that the guy's injured, but it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I don't know. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Curry is not 100%. Do you want him to be 100% in this series? One of the greatest players of all time? And is this any different than what the Detroit Pistons were doing against Michael Jordan before Jordan was finally able to get over them and get the first Eastern Conference title for the Bulls and ultimately win his first title? I mean, I like the physical nature of basketball, and there's a lot of people who want to go away from it entirely. That there is definitely a fine line when it comes to what's dirty and what isn't, and Dylan Brooks is certainly not helping himself, at least in a court of law. They read that transcript back to him. They're going to probably give him the book for going after Steph. But do we need Steve to be preachy, as he always is, especially considering Draymond Green is on his team? Oh, I can't believe they're saying F you, Draymond. Well, Draymond Green is on your team, and Draymond Green often brings it upon himself. And to Draymond Green's credit, he does think that this is happening against Steph Curry, but he also doesn't seem to mind.
Draymond, Steve mentioned he noticed that defenders, when they're closing out, they're trying to like almost hit Steph's thumb as he's shooting. Have you noticed that, or how much have you seen that, especially in these playoffs?
Oh, yeah, I noticed it. I think it's pretty obvious, but it is what it is. Yeah.
Do you think the league should crack down on it at all?
I'm not one to come to cry to you about what the league should do. I see enough people cry about me, and I lose respect for those people when they cry about me, so I will not allow somebody to lose respect for me over that. It's all good.
Well, Draymond in a court of law covering his bases. You know why? Because there was a game back in 2017 between the Rockets and the Warriors where, and again, sometimes the Rockets broadcast back in the day. This was, I think, with Craig Ackerman and Matt Bullard on the call. There were times back in the day where the Rockets, perhaps, broadcast team suggested that dirty things were happening and that the refs were out to get them. But Draymond Green, after this moment that you're going to hear, actually admitted to doing exactly what he's accused of against James Harden.
Offensive foul on Draymond Green. Oh, yeah, he just hammers James on that wrist. That same wrist that James has been struggling with. That's a dirty play right there.
Cobra Kai, did he sweep the leg?
He didn't go with the leg sweep.
Did not go with the leg sweep there. Would he have? Probably. He would have thought about it, that's for sure. I mean, Draymond Green and legs, that's a tale as old as time. Does he have control over them? Does he have plausible deniability? He's like the football player, Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch. That's a real name. What a nickname back in the day people used to have. So that's Draymond actually being a bit of a hypocrite there, but not a complete hypocrite. Because he's saying, yeah, it's obviously happening, but he's also saying at the same time, people are always bitching about me. Well, yeah, there's an example.
Yeah.
One of many.
I think the Draymond tone is like the perfect one specifically for Draymond to be like, yeah, it's happening. So are you going to complain about it? Yeah, not really. Because both answers started with like a, well, like, where he was like, what can I say?
I know who I am.
Yeah. And the hat's off to him, like, not trying not to be a hypocrite. Like, most people would just be a hypocrite.
Right.
Most people would just be like, it's insane what they're doing to my guy.
There's a little bit of hypocrisy there, but not too much hypocrisy there. And, again, you know, to quote Giannis Antetokounmpo, where do you come from? Snitches get stitches.
Is that true for Hanover, Massachusetts, Jim? Do snitches get stitches there?
Well, I'd be snitching if I told you.
Oh, good point. Good point. Yeah, I think that this is a classic example. I think this first round's been a lot about that, where after, I think it was after like the first maybe weekend of games, that people were talking about like how physical these playoffs are, and are they too physical? It's like, in the regular season, all we hear about is how the 90s were physical and everyone loved it. And then the second they get 90s basketball in front of them, people are just like, ugh.
The people covering this series,
it's like a league-wide thing. Because like, people talk about that with the Knicks-Pistons series.
Yeah.
People talk about it with the other Eastern Conference. The Boston Magic one. Like, people just like hate actually when teams are physical.
And it's interesting because people who watch the sport like it, but the people who cover the sport don't seem to like it. Or they're perhaps digging into a storyline that will generate discussion because they know what it'll be. But here's the thing, in asking these kind of beta bitch questions about like what's going on out there, I mean, they are lending a helping hand to the NBA further going away from physicality, because Adam Silver sees this and it says, oh, think about the children, and overcorrects. And potentially next year we see a rule against this. What's funny is if we could just accept that this is happening and both sides are okay with it, instead of saying, hey, he went after my guy, you went after my guy first. If we could go about it that way, I mean, I guess the conversations wouldn't be as interesting for someone like me. The content wouldn't be as interesting, but I mean, I'd appreciate it as someone who does love physical basketball, because this series has been a treat from that perspective.
It's also like these series, like this year, not just this one, but like the other ones that I mentioned, and even like Lakers, Timberwolves, Nuggets, Clippers, like these games are more physical than they were 2 years ago. Like they allow more contact now than they did 2 years ago.
Which is good.
Yeah. It is good, except for every fan base who complains about every call.
And I know people do not like that I love Steph Curry. I love Steph Curry. I always will love Steph Curry. He's one of my favorite players that I've ever watched play basketball. He is my current favorite player in the NBA, and he has been for quite some time. You know who handled this whole thing well? Better than anybody. Outside of Ime Udoka, who gave a funny answer. Like, 'cause Dylan...
He gave a Bill Belichick answer. Where he's just like, right. Do you want to answer this question?
No. Dylan Brooks threw gasoline on the fire. Steve Kerr was a patronizing little whiny baby. Draymond Green was kind of calling it out, but also realizing he'd be hypocritical in further calling it out. You know who gave the best answer about what's happening to him? The guy with the golf ball on his thumb from swelling. It was Steph Curry after the game.
How cognizant are you about the way that they're closing out on your jump shot, particularly, you know, swiping down on your thumb?
You don't think about it. If it's a foul, they should call it. That's it. If it's a foul, they should call it.
And Steph whines from time to time in the midst of games. All stars do. But, I mean, he's not calling it intentional there. He's not. Credit to him. Also credit to Steph saying, yeah, the injury's not affecting me. I disagree. I think it clearly is these last two games. That is not the Steph Curry I know. Has he had his moments? Sure. Consistently, he has not. His ball handling has been suspect. There have been moments in this one where if I'm a Warriors fan, like deep down, I'm not saying this aloud, but deep down inside, I'm thinking to myself, crap, what's going on? What's going on? And again, you know Steph. For all we know, he comes back Friday, boom, like 7 threes. But right now, the quiet thought that I'm not saying aloud, because I'm a cocky Warriors fan, is that, what's going on with Steph?
Yeah. I mean, didn't seem to be a problem game 3.
No, it didn't. But game 4, game 5, a little bit different. And perhaps this is where the swelling began. And honestly, I understand why a lot of Rocket fans are out there saying, win by any means necessary. Just win, baby. Oakland Raiders style. Las Vegas Raiders style. Oh, no, your thumb. Whoops, my bad. I mean, I can understand why some Rockets fans here, first taste of the playoffs in a while, on the text line are saying, I don't really mind it that much. I'm looking the other way.
I would expect it if Shingun had a hurt thumb. I would expect it when Jalen Green had a hurt thumb. Like, you just would expect that. I don't understand.
Mutually assured destruction between these two teams and the way that they play with the physicality they play in this series, Sean.
Yeah, if I don't know. Orlando was going after Tatum's wrist. Like, it's not just – it's two teams that, like – it's just what you do when you play basketball. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's crazy. This is, like – this is where I become the old man, where I'm just like, this is just how we play basketball.
Back in my day, we used to play through a lot. Are the Rockets being dirty? 713-780-3776 to call the text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Last night marked another step for the guy who will be the most important Houston Rocket next season. Who am I talking about? You'll find out next. Paul Gallant Show.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.